Turn with me, if you will, in God's holy word to the Old Testament book of Habakkuk, chapter 1. Habakkuk is there towards the end of the Old Testament, in between Nahum and Zephaniah. Well, just when you think the world can't get any crazier, 2020 comes along, right? I don't think anyone would argue with the fact that it's been a doozy of a year, a crazy year, and we're not even done yet. We still got a little while to go, so we started off the year early with the coronavirus pandemic, and then which many folks have sadly been sick from or lost loved ones to. And it's also brought us a lot of new things. It's brought us face masks, social distancing. It's brought us, having to go down the grocery store aisle one way. It's brought a shortage of different things, crazy things you wouldn't ever imagine, right? When you go visit your loved one at the nursing home, you have to look through a window at them. I've never seen anything like that, have you? It's been a crazy year so far. Earlier in the year, we got to watch on TV as the president they were trying to impeach him. It's been a crazy year. That's not the first time I've seen that, though. And then we watched the stock market plummet. That wasn't the first either, but, what was crazy is there was a threat of murder hornets invading the United States. It reminded me of one of those old shows, where everything was giant, I was like, man, they're going to show up. What's next? And then when we watch on TV, or maybe you've seen in person, we've got the protests and the riots and the wickedness in the streets going on. And so 2020's brought us a lot of crazy stuff. We've had a really active hurricane season. We've got wildfires going on right now. And this is just to name a few things here in the U.S. There's crazy stuff going on all around the world right now. And so there seems to be no shortage of trouble or evil in the world today. And one thing that really gets me ill, it gets my blood pumping. I literally, when I see it happening, I get the shakes, the adrenaline shakes. And Brother Ralph's going to know what I'm talking about here. It's when I see the way our police officers are being treated. And I see it on TV. Now, I'm a little bit biased when it comes to that. Y'all know that. But I can never remember seeing such aggression or hatred towards police officers than what I see now. And so I've never witnessed evil and injustice running rampant and actually being praised. And even some people in the government are praising them. And so while the very ones who are trying to uphold the law are being attacked, being ambushed, being defunded, being criticized. And so it really gets my blood boiling. And if I could go in the TV, I would. I would go in there and it wouldn't be pretty. I know that's not the right answer, but I ask, when is enough of this? Where's justice at? When's it gonna happen? And so to everyone who's listening, especially the children, police officers are the good guys. Amen. No matter what the TV says, the only people who don't like the police are criminals. Police are the good guys. And so Caleb has made me watch a lot of Superman cartoons lately, so I'm in the pursuit of truth and justice at the moment. So that may have something to do with it. But really, criminals are being praised, and those who enforce the laws are under attack. And it's really a backwards world that we live in today. And so I ask, where is justice? And today we're going to look into the life and the times and the personal struggles of the prophet Habakkuk. Because, you see, in his days there were a lot of troubles too. And he had the same questions. What's going on? Where's the justice that needs to come? And the world didn't look so great for him either. And there were things that angered him. And today we're going to see that trouble, of course we already know this, trouble is not a new thing, right? And hopefully we'll be encouraged by the prophet Habakkuk and see that even though when troubles come and when they go, God is still on the throne. He hadn't resigned from his position of authority. He hadn't taken a vacation. He hadn't abandoned his position. He's still there. And so I've entitled today's sermon, When God Tarries. And so Habakkuk is a short book. It's only three chapters, and we're going to touch a little bit on all three, but just for reading purposes, we're going to primarily be in chapter 1, verses 1 through 7, and then verse 11, and then chapter 2, verses 2 through 4. But first, we're going to start with chapter 1, verses 1 through 7, and verse 11. And so by now, you probably found Habakkuk. It's right there between Nahum and Zephaniah, isn't it? Yeah. So if you're physically able, I would ask that you please stand in honor of the reading of God's holy word. This is Habakkuk chapter 1, and I'm reading from the New American Standard version. I better get my clicker ready here. All right, so the oracle which Habakkuk the prophet saw. How long, O Lord, will I call for help, and you will not hear? I cry out to you, violence, yet you do not save. Why do you make me see iniquity and cause me to look on wickedness? Yes, destruction and violence are before me. Strife exists and contention arises. Therefore, the law is ignored and justice is never upheld. For the wicked surround the righteous. Therefore, justice comes out perverted. Here's God's response. Look among the nations, observe, be astonished, wonder, because I am doing something in your days you would not believe if you were told. For behold, I am raising up the Chaldeans, that fierce and impetuous people who march throughout the earth to seize dwelling places which are not theirs. They are dreaded and feared. Their justice and authority originate with themselves. Now down to verse 11. Then they will sweep through like the wind and pass on. But they will be held guilty, they whose strength is their God. Now, chapter 2. Then the Lord answered me and said, record the vision and inscribe it on tablets, that the one who reads it may run. For the vision is yet for the appointed time. It hastens towards the goal, and it will not fail. Though it tarries, wait for it, for it will certainly come. It will not delay. Behold, as for the proud one, his soul is not right within him, but the righteous will live by his faith. Let's pray. Father, we love you and we praise you and we thank you that this is recorded just as you told him to do. And Lord, we just pray that you'll open our eyes and our hearts to your word and apply it to our lives, Father. Give us encouragement in these crazy times. In Jesus' name, amen. You can be seated. When God tarries, Habakkuk was a prophet to Judah, and that's the southern half of the divided kingdom. If you've studied Bible history or you remember from a Sunday school lesson or something, there was a point where the kingdom was divided, and Judah was the southern half, and Israel was the northern half, and Habakkuk is the prophet to the southern half there, Judah. And he was there in the final days before it was conquered by the Babylonians. Or the Chaldeans, you'll see that term interchanged if you study this, depending on what translation you look at, the Babylonians or the Chaldeans. Habakkuk didn't like what he was seeing. He looked around in the world. He had the equivalent of 2020 going on back then. He looked around. He didn't like what he was seeing. And I can only imagine being a God-appointed prophet for the people and looking around and seeing this. I mean, that's like a bad time to be a prophet, right? And so he saw iniquity, it says, wickedness, destruction, violence, justice that is perverted. Kind of sounds like watching the news, doesn't it? Well, Habakkuk wanted God to set his people back on the right path. He wanted revival for his people. And so today, and we're going to look into the life of Habakkuk and his times. And the first thing that I want for us to observe is the complaint, Habakkuk's complaint. He basically asked God, are you paying attention to what's going on? Verse 2 says, how long, O Lord, will I call for help and you will not hear? You know that we're impatient by human nature, right? I'm pretty sure that's why the Bible lists it as a fruit of the Spirit, patience. I was at Chick-fil-A the other day, and I have the Chick-fil-A app on my phone. I don't know if y'all have that or not, but when you buy something and you use that app, you store up points. And I had stored up enough to get me a sandwich, a spicy chicken sandwich. I like the original ones too, but the spicy ones are better. And then and a frosted lemonade. Now, I'm endorsing those if you haven't had one. You need a frosted lemonade. They're good. And so I had enough points saved up to get those two things. And I get there, and of course the line's a mile long, wrapped around. And so I was like, man, I've never used the curbside ordering. I'm going to try that, because they were all empty. And I pulled in there and I ordered it and used my points there. And immediately it said, the server's on the way out with your food. And I was like, yeah, I've got it figured out now. Well, I waited. And about the time it takes, if you would have been in the line, that's when it come out. I was getting impatient over a free sandwich. Let me remind you, it was free from points. And a free lemonade, frosted lemonade, and I was becoming impatient. And it finally came out, and I chuckled at myself and had to ask forgiveness for that. Not from the lady, but from the Lord, being impatient. She didn't know I was impatient, but the Lord did. Habakkuk asked, how long, O Lord, will I call for help and you will not hear? Now, some translations use the word listen. You know, how long, O Lord, will I call for help and you will not listen? And if you do the study on the word, it can actually mean to pay attention. So in essence, Habakkuk is saying, how long, O Lord, will I call for help and you're not paying attention? You're not even listening to me. And so Habakkuk knows that his people are wicked and they're violent people, and the Babylonians aren't any better, they're worse. And he knows that God is just and is also a jealous God for his righteousness, and that he also knows that God is all-knowing. And he's watching how God's people have trampled all over the covenant, they've unashamedly violated the law, have been sinning. And he asks, God, are you even paying attention to this? What's going on? How long will I cry for help and you will not hear? Do you see what's happening? Do you even care, Lord? Because Habakkuk's thinking back to some scriptures, and he's thinking, God has made promises about this. He's promised to bring justice. He's promised that when people break this covenant law like this, when they trample all over it, some things are going to happen. And he's not seeing it happen. And so he's wondering what's going on. Now, I would like to think that Habakkuk is probably more patient than I was at Chick-fil-A the other day, but and his impatience, the reason for it's probably a little bit better than mine was, maybe a little bit. But anyway, Habakkuk didn't have bad intentions. He wanted his people to be revived. He wanted cleansing in the nation, revival in the nation. He just wanted it to happen on his time, quicker. He didn't see it happening. It didn't seem like anything was happening. I mean, he's like, God, I've been praying, I've been watching, nothing's happening. I'm just wondering, nothing's getting better. How long, O Lord, are you going to wait? And, you know, if you think about the prophets, Habakkuk's a little bit different, because usually the prophets would bring God's revelation to the people. Instead, he brings the problems of the people to God. He's fussing at God. How long are you going to wait on this, Lord? Have any of y'all ever fussed at God? I mean, I have. I ain't going to lie. I mean, I distinctively remember one time early in my Christian walk, I just got saved. I was trying to redirect my life to get on the right path. And man, it seemed like trouble after trouble after trouble just came my way. Everything that could go wrong was going wrong. And I cried out to God, what's up, God? I thought you loved me. What's going on? What in the world is happening? Why is all this stuff, you know, happening? And so we're like that, aren't we? We get like that. When everything's good, we're like Peter, the rock of the church. You know, he had problems too, but when things go bad, we're like Habakkuk. What in the world? What's happening? What's going on? And so how long will I cry out for help, Lord? You know, in retrospect, when I look back to that event, it was a time where my faith was pushed a little bit, strengthened a little bit, moved up a notch a little bit. And so the Lord knows what he's doing. So we see Habakkuk's complaint here. How long, O Lord, will I call for help and you will not hear? Now let's see the response. Because God hears, and he says that judgment's coming through the Chaldeans. God says, look, Habakkuk, don't worry. I'm still in control. I've got this. Look at verse 5. Look back at verse 5. He says, look among the nations, observe, be astonished, wonder. Because I'm doing something in your days you would not believe if you were told. For behold, I'm raising up the Chaldeans, that fierce and impetuous people who march throughout the earth to seize dwelling places which are not theirs. They are dreaded and feared. Their justice and authority originate with themselves. God told Habakkuk he was about to do amazing things that you wouldn't even believe if I told you I was going to do it. That's what he told Habakkuk. And so he told Habakkuk, I am addressing these covenant violations and the wickedness that's going on. It will be addressed. However, he's bringing this judgment from another angle, not from the way Habakkuk thinks it should happen. And so he says he's going to bring it from the Chaldeans or the Babylonians. And so he says they're impetuous. That means that they're reckless and hasty. They're hot-headed people. And so when I read that, I thought, man, our little Tinsley is probably Babylonian. I don't know if you can do a DNA test on that or not. But she's got to be from there. Anyway, sorry. Get back on track. But up to this point, you see, the Assyrians, they were the dominant power in that part of the world. And for more than a century they were, but they were in a weakening state. They were not going to be in power for long. And Habakkuk knew that this was irreversible. He knew that Babylon would soon be the world power there because Babylon had already made a rapid rise to power and they were already asserting themselves against Assyria. So that it wasn't going to be long before the Babylonians were in control. And this didn't fly well with Habakkuk because in his mind he thought the Assyrians were going to be the rod of God to chastise, to discipline the Israelites. And so that was supposed to be the way it happened in Habakkuk's mind. And it turns out that's not the way it was going to happen because Habakkuk knew that they had not been punished yet for their sins, for their trampling all over the covenant. And so God says that he's raising up the Babylonians. And Habakkuk don't like it because that's not the way he's played it out in his mind. And so God tells him that he's coming from another angle. And how many of y'all know that God don't always play by our rules, right? We got it all figured out. And then we ask God, and it don't work out that way, right? We try to fit God in this neat little mold that seems right to us when the Bible is full. It's full of examples where God does something out of the ordinary, not the norm. It don't sound logical, right? And this don't sound logical to Habakkuk. A lot of us have probably experienced things like that in our life where we thought it should happen one way and God didn't let it happen that way. It worked another way. And so he told Habakkuk just to watch, just be astonished, that he wouldn't even believe it even if he was told. And we're like that. I know we are. If God told us all the plans, we would be like, I don't know if that's the right way. You know, that don't sound good. That don't even sound logical. And so it didn't sound logical to Habakkuk either. And so that leads to his next complaint in the next little section in our bulletin there, the confusion, or Habakkuk's second complaint. What? How can a just God use a wicked nation? He tells God, basically, I don't get it. He says, are you not from everlasting, O Lord my God, my Holy One? We will not die. You, O Lord, have appointed them to judge. And you, O rock, have established them to correct. Your eyes are too pure to approve evil, and you cannot look on wickedness with favor. Why do you look with favor on those who deal treacherously? Why are you silent when the wicked swallow up those more righteous than they? Now, if we think about it for a minute, we'll come to the conclusion that God has allowed some pretty wicked groups over history to rule things, to have an impact on his people. Throughout history, it really hasn't been that long ago that Adolf Hitler was on the scene, right? And what he did to the Jewish folks. And you can go all the way back to the first century when Nero was the emperor and basically wiped out a lot of Christians, you know, tortured them and put them in jail and killed them. And then we can look around the world today, and it's happening in a lot of countries today. And so if we think about it, we'll come to the conclusion that God uses some wicked people to do his work. But our knee-jerk response to this is to be like Habakkuk and to question God. Where is the justice? This don't seem right. Are you really going to do that, God? Are you really going to allow that? You're going to use people more wicked as a means to accomplish your goal. Now, Habakkuk knew that Judah was in need of discipline. He wasn't denying that his folks had not sinned or weren't deserving of punishment. He just couldn't understand why God would use an even more wicked nation to do it. He couldn't wrap that around his mind. And so in his mind, God doing that was he was thinking that God was approving the way of the Babylonians. If you use them, that means that you're kind of approving what they do. And so you want to know what's funny about all this? I kind of laughed when I realized it when I was doing this study. God had just told him he wouldn't believe or understand what's going on, right? And he don't. He don't. He can't wrap his head around it. He can't wrap his head around God's ways. And so many times we can't either. You know, we want answers, don't we? Raising five kids is a real experience. And I know the cooks over here have one more to add to that, so they could probably tell you more. But one thing I've noticed is like they're little attorneys. They're little lawyers. They ask a million questions, and they try to find out every little detail. And it's hard for them just to trust and go along with the program. They got to know everything that's going on. And sometimes I get aggravated when they ask a lot of questions. And then I get even more aggravated when they ask a question about the answer I just gave them to the first question. And I'm like, I have to invoke my Fifth Amendment right to remain silent. I'm not going, because they try to incriminate you, wanting you to make a promise. And they don't forget them either, I'm telling you that. And so they want to know what we're having for supper while we're eating breakfast. Did y'all have kids? Anybody have kids like that? Trying to figure out every angle of what's going on. I walk to the mailbox, they're like, who's that for? Or if I'm on the phone, like, who are you talking to? And I'm a great dad, you know what I tell them? Ain't none of your business what I'm talking to. Get out of my face, leave me alone. That's parenting 101 right there. But we're like that too, right? We're little kids too like that sometimes. God doesn't have to tell us all he's doing. He's God. Why does he have to tell us everything he's doing? Where are we going, God? Are we there yet? You know, sometimes he does let us in on what he's doing. And he tells us things that we really need to know. Like, for my thoughts are not your thoughts, nor are my ways your ways, declares the Lord. Or he tells us that we won't understand everything. Just to come along for the ride, trust him. Or Jeremiah 29:10, for I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans for welfare and not for calamity, to give you a future and a hope. Habakkuk was confused about God's plan. He didn't know all the details. He didn't know what was going on. He asked, why do you look with favor on those who deal treacherously? Why are you silent while the wicked swallow up those more righteous than they? He said, what's going on, God? Why are you allowing that? Are you not from everlasting, O Lord, my God, my Holy One? And so I'm going to go to chapter 2 where we read from this morning, a little bit earlier, chapter 2, verses 2 through 4. Then the Lord answered me and said, record the vision and inscribe it on tablets that the one who reads it may run. That don't mean run away. That means run with the news. For the vision is yet for the appointed time. It hastens towards the goal and it will not fail. Though it tarries, wait for it. That's what he tells him. Though it tarries, wait for it. For it will certainly come. It will not delay. Behold, as for the proud one, his soul is not right within him, but the righteous will live by his faith. All right, God refers to Babylon as the proud one here, the Chaldeans as the proud one here, because they trusted in themselves. They were coming to world power back then. Their strength, it says back in chapter 1, verse 11, was their God. They were proud of their military might, their rise to power. They were the world power. Who could defeat them? Who could defeat USA, right? That's what we think. God can. God can defeat them. Sometimes evil and injustice seem to have the upper hand. And sometimes, like Habakkuk, we don't like what we see going on. We get angry. We get discouraged. Habakkuk complained about his day, and what did God say? Be patient. He said, just be patient. I'm still in control. That's what he would tell us. He wouldn't say, be worried. He would say, be patient. I haven't gone anywhere, is what God would say. I'm paying attention. Though it tarries, wait for it. I'm still in control. For the vision is yet for the appointed time. It hastens toward the goal, and it will not fail. Though it tarries, wait for it will certainly come. It will not delay. He's saying, listen, Habakkuk, they will have their day. The proud one, they'll have their day at the appointed time, in his time, in God's timing. But in the meantime, the righteous are to live by faith. And that's live by faith, not just once in your life and then forget about it the rest of your life. That's to live by faith. Even when the world's going crazy, when the world's in chaos and God's plans are not obvious, what he's going to do, what's going to happen, the righteous have a responsibility to conduct themselves with faithfulness and with integrity towards God and to keep moving forward. It's in those difficult times like that. Faith is hard in those difficult times, but it's in those times like that that it's most obvious to those who aren't faithful that our faith is faithful. It's in those hard times when we're shining bright for the light of God. God reminded Habakkuk that he did not approve of the Babylonians. He reminded him of that, and that justice, would come. God's justice did not need to be defended. He didn't need Habakkuk to defend his justice. It would certainly come. Listen to what's written in Jeremiah. Jeremiah was a contemporary of Habakkuk. He prophesied at the same time as Habakkuk. Listen to what's written there in chapter 25. Verses 12 and 13. Then it will be when 70 years are completed, I will punish the king of Babylon and that nation, declares the Lord, for their iniquity and the land of the Chaldeans. And I will make it an everlasting desolation. I will bring upon that land all my words which I have pronounced against it, all that is written in this book which Jeremiah has prophesied against the nations. God's justice does not need to be defended, right? He's still in control. He can handle it. He's a big God, right? He's a big boy. He can handle it. He don't need Habakkuk or anybody else to defend his justice. Our responsibility is to not have all the answers. It's to trust on him, right? But rather to respond in faith and trust him, to stay close to him and let him handle it. Sometimes as parents, we have to do what's best for the kids, even though they don't understand what's going on, right? Parents know that. I told Coleman, I would use this illustration. They had a donut sale at school the other day, Krispy Kreme donuts. A lot of y'all bought some of them, thank you. But one person, Mr. Kent, I won't call him out, Mr. Kent Sanford, where was that? He bought some donuts and he told Coleman, if we're out of town when they come in, you got to eat that whole box of donuts. And they were the cream-filled kind. And as a parent, I didn't let him do that. Right? We know why, right? A dozen cream-filled donuts. Now, he might have been able to get them down. I don't know. He can eat a lot. But sometimes as a parent, we have to do what's best. I don't know if he would have tried to eat them all or not, but he probably could. God reminded Habakkuk that he did not approve of everything that was going on. But what did he do? He brought it back on Habakkuk's faith, right? He said, no, I don't like what's happening either. But let's talk about you. Let's talk about you, Habakkuk. Where is your faith? Behold, as for the proud one, his soul is not right within him, but the righteous will live by his faith. The Bible tells us to trust God, right? To trust God with all our heart and not to lean on our own understanding. Well, that brings us to the next section, the faith. Even in the chaos, I trust you. And so I believe that all God's people, wrestle with questions at some point in their walk. There's a lot of questions in life. And the ones that Habakkuk presented here, they're age-old questions. Why do the righteous suffer? Why does God let it happen and appear to remain silent? Those are good questions. They're relevant for today. And so those things are still happening. He's calling on us, though, to gain a new perspective on the ways that he interacts with people. And so there's a story that takes place in Luke chapter 13. I don't have it up here, so y'all just have to listen to me. But this is where Jesus is answering some questions about innocent people dying. And I'll read it to you. This is Luke chapter 13, verses 1 through 5. About this time, Jesus was informed that Pilate had murdered some people from Galilee as they were offering sacrifices in the temple. Do you think that those Galileans were worse sinners than all the other people from Galilee? Jesus asked. Is that why they suffered? Not at all. And you will perish too unless you repent of your sins and turn to God. And what about the 18 people who died when the Tower of Siloam fell on them? Were they the worst sinners in Jerusalem? No. And I tell you again that unless you repent, you will perish too. You see what Jesus did? He took the focus off of what happened in the world and placed it focused on those who were there listening to him, right? He placed the focus on us, right? Don't worry about who's more wicked than who. Look back at yourself. God did that with Habakkuk. He redirected Habakkuk's perspective on the world situation by pulling it back on him, telling him that the righteous will live by faith. He said, I've got this, Habakkuk. You just be faithful. If you're my man, you just be faithful. I've got this. Don't worry about the world. And Habakkuk, he did respond in the correct way. And chapter 3 of Habakkuk tells us that it's a prayer of Habakkuk written as a poem or written as a song. And so, there you go, Doug. I need you to prepare that there. Have that ready by next week, chapter 3. I'm kidding, but I'm not going to read all of chapter 3 to you, but look in your Bibles to verses 16 through 19. I am going to read that. Chapter 3, verses 16 through 19. Habakkuk responds in the correct way when God tells him, don't worry about it. Look at yourself. The righteous are going to live by faith. This is 16. I heard and my inward parts trembled. At the sound, my lips quivered. Decay enters my bones, and in my place I tremble. Because I must wait quietly for the day of distress, for the people to arise who will invade us. Though the fig tree should not blossom and there be no fruit on the vines, though the yield of the olive should fail and the fields produce no food, though the flock should be cut off from the fold and there be no cattle in the stalls, yet I will exult in the Lord. I will rejoice in the God of my salvation. The Lord my God is my strength, and he has made my feet like hind's feet and makes me walk on my high places. The hind's feet here is a reference to a mountain deer that's sure-footed. Even though all of these things are going to happen, he's going to exalt in the Lord. And as we look around today at all of our craziness, we need to think about this. What are the righteous supposed to do? You know, there's a lot of fear in the world right now. If you look around, there's a lot of fear with the virus going on and with the election coming up, with the economy, there's a lot of fear going on. What are we putting our trust in as Christians, as faithful? What are we putting our trust in? If you look around, people are trusting in the government. Oh, they're working on a vaccine. They'll have it out. They're going to send you a check. I mean, what are we putting our trust in? Now, if they send me a check, I'm going to spend it. I ain't going to lie. I'm going to spend it on something. But I don't know about the vaccine. I don't know if I'll take that or not. But anyhow, that's not where my faith is. My faith's not in the government. Amen. It's not. They can't even do anything without fussing and fighting. Why? A whole bunch of drama. My trust is not in money either. And that check they're going to send, I'm not trusting in that. It's in God. My faith's in God. Because he's still on the throne, even though all this mess is happening. He's still on the, he hadn't gone anywhere. He's still there. He knows what's happening. He's still in control. No matter what comes our way or what all this looks like, the rest of this world looks like, he's still on control, in control and on the throne. Let's look at Jeremiah 29, 10 through 13. For thus says the Lord, when 70 years have been completed for Babylon, I will visit you and fulfill my good word to you to bring you back to this place. For I know the plans that I have for you, declares the Lord, plans for welfare and not for calamity, to give you a future and a hope. Then you will call upon me and come and pray to me, and I will listen to you. You will seek me and find me when you search for me with all your heart. You know, there's a lot going on in the world today, but just like Habakkuk, God is shifting the focus to us. That fear, it's not supposed to control us. You know, there's a lot going on. Are we living by faith or are we living by that fear? And do you even know God, right? That's a big question right there. Do you even know God? Perhaps you're listening today or sitting here today and you're not sure about that. Or you don't know what living in faith is all about. And so surrender your life today to the Lord. You know, pride was the downfall of Babylon. He told us that. It's their pride. It's their pride that's going to be their downfall. And there's a lot of people that's going to go to hell because of their pride. So if that's a problem, don't let it be yours today. I know the altar is going to be open for you to come and pray. And so the Lord tells us if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And so the righteous are to live by faith. We're not, this world is crazy right now. I can't remember a crazier time. And it seems like it's getting crazier by the day. And so that's not what we trust in, though. We don't trust in the government. We don't trust in money. We don't trust in this or that, vaccines or whatever. We trust in the Lord. Now, I'm not saying be irresponsible, all right? You're not to be foolish. But ultimately, our trust is not there. And so when we cry out, where are you? I mean, we're like Habakkuk. What's going on? He's there. He's still in control. He's paying attention. He knows everything that's going on. And so whatever you need to do today, if it's remaining faithful or if it's trusting in the Lord for your first time, today is the day. Let me pray. Father, we love you. We praise you. We thank you that you are in control. Nothing gets by you. There's no surprises for you, Lord. You know everything that's going on. And your ways are not our ways. Sometimes you do things and use people as tools that we would never imagine. I can't even imagine me standing up here right now. Father, we place our trust in you. Help us, Lord, not to live by fear. The righteous are to live by faith. Help us to do that, Lord. Thank you for your word. If there's anybody here, Lord, that don't know you, I pray that you'll give them courage to lay down their pride and to trust in you. I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.